we're going to come away from the kōrero about the bypass and that pake, but we're going to stay in the same rohe. And now we're going to have a kōrero with Paura Lawrence. Now, Paura grew up in this area, has a deep love, aroha, for this area, and in particular for the awa. It is the, what is it called? It's the mimitangi atua. So we're going to have a little bit of a kōrero to Paura Lawrence now, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about the awa, the kōrero, the names of these places, why they're so important to him. And I think it's really wonderful that we can listen to so many different people who are all connected in some way to our taiao. So Paura just happens to come from exactly the same rohe. So nei te mihi nui ki a koe, Paura.
Tēnā koe, Kiri.
Ah, kia ora, Paura. Nei te mihi nui ki a koe. Thank you so much for being willing to come and have a kōrero with me about the love that you have for this, for your rohe, for your whenua. Can we start with maybe just a little bit of a pepeha and where you're from, your whakapapa, and how you connect into this beautiful whenua?
Ai, kia ora. Ko Tārana ki te maunga, ko mimitangi atua te awa, ko tōku maru te waka, ko tama āri ki te tangata ōrunga, araka e ora te tohunga, ka tau te waka ki te whanga o tōku maru, karapotia te hika o te hika, ka ū ki mō haka tino, whakatū tōna whari, ka marae rotu ia, hei whakapiritanga i tōna iwi nei, mai kītoki ki te rau o huia, ko Ngāti Mutunga te iwi, ko te keke riwai te hapu, ko au te uri o ngā whānau, baika a rau o ko Makachi. Ko Paura Rāntahau.
Tēnā rā wātū koe, Paura. Kia ora, nei te mihi.
Kia ora.
Nei te mihi me o whānau, baika me Makachi. Those are very well-known names in te ao Māori. Nei te mihi nui kia koe, me te mano o tō pepeha. O marae.
Tēnā koe.
Yeah, o maunga, tō awa, nei te mihi nui ki a koe. So can you tell us a little bit about, I want to talk to you about kaitiakitanga and why it's so important for us as Māori, ahakoa nohea, wherever we're from, that we have a special connection with the environment. And, I kind of feel as a, I try and be kaitiaki myself and I try and encourage others. And so I'm interested in your perspective as a kaitiaki, because I do know that you are very passionate about looking after our awa, our whenua, our maunga, our taiao. And so what is it in your heart that brings it, that desire to be to be a kaitiaki? What brings that up for you?
I suppose it all stems from what I've just said, my pepeha, my whakapapa, my tipuna, the people of my whānau, gathering kai in our taiao, in our awa, our moana, kona ngāhiri. I'm specifically like talk about the awa, mimitangi atua, or ara ko te wai mihi rau. Because to me, she's a beautiful river. I love her with all my heart. She's a place where we go to cleanse when we have hara in our lives, to bless our taonga, bless our children. Planted my kids' whenua along the awa. I catch whitebait along the awa. She sustains me, and I try and look after her. And for me, to take from her, it's not only just about taking from her, it's more about giving to her for all the aroha that she's given me in my lifetime. All the memories she's given me, it's really important for me to give back. Whakato aroha, ka tukua te aroha, ka puta mai te aroha, the reciprocative cycle of aroha for each other. Because I actually feel like she's part of me, And I talked to about the Mimitangi Atua as being a she because she comes, the name originally was Te Waio Mihiro, and that was one of our ancestresses from Te Kahui Toka, which is the original people before the migration of Tokimauri Waka. And then subsequently she's been named Mimitangi Atua, who is another ancestress of us from our hapu, Te Kekiriwai, our people who resided at the Mimitangi Atua as well as Wharekauri and the Chathams. So she's really important to me. I'll tell you a story. When I was about 11 years old, my nan woke me up and about a couple of k's away in the farmhouse, and it's about 1 in the morning and the rain was about to come down, and she said, we've got to go pull a fishing net in because the flood would wash it away, and that was our kai. And so my nan and I walked down across the paddocks to get down there, and I swam across the river and untied the net, and we caught 136 fish that night, flounder, kahawai and mullet, which sustained us and many others for many, many months. This is back in the early 1980s. Now, you know, you'd be lucky to get any fish now.
Oh, that's mamai.
The mamai comes from, we've actually got this operation operating up at Urati. So Urati, I don't know if anyone knows about Urati Valley, but it's a natural wetlands. And because it's got a high water table, it's a worm farm. So Remediation New Zealand's a worm farm that's been remediating thousands and thousands of tonnes of New Zealand's problems for about 25 years now, such as oil rig waste. They reckon about 22,000 tonnes of that has been dumped up there with heavy metals, bariums and stuff like that. Fonterra waste, Teagle chicken waste, all those places like that, all these heavy industries have been dropping their chemicals up there. And that's now leaching into the Hayanga stream, or has been for over 20 years. And then that's leaching into the Mimitangi Atua River and then subsequently into our reefs, such as Paparoa and Pariokarewa, where we get our mussels and our power from. So at the moment, there's a rahui on our river of no take, purely to keep everyone safe. But it really hurts because the Māori has been extremely damaged, the wairua, the place. I've got my son's placenta to bury it there. I don't have the heart to go near the awa to plant it until this wrong is righted. We fix it. And I always feel like an urge from people behind me to watipuna to do something about it, And so I thank you for the opportunity to just to talk about it to people, to share that.
It's my privilege. It's my privilege to be able to, you know, to be able to share this kōrero. And people need to hear it. And for me, you know, it's about the importance of kaitiakitanga I te tuatahi is getting our people to care enough to stand up and to do something. And it is always difficult, you know. And I think in the years that I've done, you know, different mahi for the Tai Ao, every now and then, you know, you hit a roadblock or you hit, you know, some people that push back. And my go-to has always been, I always say the earth or the Tai Ao is everything. That's everything. And if we don't look after Papatūānuku, then there's no use looking after anything else in the offices or anything else with bureaucracy. Or don't even worry about having politicians because we won't be here. So ko te kaupapa tuatahi, ko te kaupapa matua o te ao, ko te ao. And so I always, you know, I revert back to that. And even sometimes, you know, just to share a bit of kaitiaki, kind of, you know, like a comrade kind of whakaro with you. Every now and then I might get an older person. So, you know, someone that For me, I was raised with tikanga, and one of the tikanga was you respect your elders, you respect them. And so every now and again, I might come up against an elder who had, you know, was actually in bureaucracy and who wasn't always necessarily there for the taiao. And when I used to have to go, you know what, I'm going to have to go up against this person, I'd always think, no, but I'm actually advocating for te kuia o ngā kuia, you know, the ultimate. And that's papatuanuku. And I don't think, how old you, how, no matter how old you are, she's older. And so, you know, that kind of, I feel every now and again that gives me the license. As long as I know that my kaupapa is tūturu, and my kaupapa at the heart of it is what is good for papatuanuku.
Where I'm coming from. Yeah. For me, it's really important to raise the issues to the problems that we're facing, the weru, because the very people that are supposed to be protecting our environment, which I'll probably name it, Taranaki Regional Council, are supposed to protect our air, land and water, are the very people that have enabled this desecration through the non-consenting and the lack of testing, water testing. And they haven't been onto it enough, but this has been going for 25 years now. It's been non-consented for 5 years and they're still operating. We've been to a couple of hearings already, but they're allowed to operate until the last word is spoken. Remediation is New Zealand. They're allowed to carry on operating until the last things happen in the court, which is the environmental court. Now, the environmental court is supposed to happen in Cyclone Gabrielle. But because of that, the fear of harm towards commissioner, they cancelled it till, I think, around July. So all the other people that are alongside me at the moment have gagging orders. They can't speak up about it. But because I'm not part of the next hearing, I believe I'm able to speak. And if I'm not going to speak for her, who is? And so I've got a battle before my heart for what I believe in. As I always have. And I do it with aroha because I love you so much, the awa, and I love papatuanuku, you know, wholeheartedly.
Yes, very special, eh? There's a, and I can definitely say that in the times where I have stood up for papatuanuku, I've felt her backing. Yeah, and I've felt, you know, that there's just a, and, you know, maybe some people might not be able to relate to this, but I think that many Māori could. There's a feeling, there's a connection, there's a knowing there. And a fire. You know, in my heart, because there's nobody that can tell me that destroying the environment is a good thing. There's no one that can tell me.
I was talking to a friend of mine earlier, and I could feel the fire rising within me about the weru I've been facing, because I've been facing quite a bit of skullduggery around it.
Skullduggery, eh?
Yeah, from the old boys network that had the money and stuff like that. And it's been really hard because they can't seem to do any wrong, and they're all connected with the very people that are supposed to protect our place, environment, the council. When I went to a hearing, I saw the owners of the very people I've been battling shaking hands with them and hugging them. I couldn't believe it. With the council members, the consent people in the council, I was in disbelief to see that. But they've got a long connection through the 25 years of this happening. So it's a hard one because that's our marakai. Now, the Mimi Tangi Atua has been my whānau Māori kai for generations. My mum grew up on a land called Te Hawera, and Te Hawera was land cleared for our papa kāinga. It was cleared by our ads of the Toku Māori Waka called Pautama Whiria. So there's all that whakapapa that goes right back to Hawaiki. You know, we had canoe. I remember as a kid, there was a waka on the side of the bank down from our homestead, and we were always told to stay away from that block because it was tapu. There's trees not to touch. If you touch them, you got illness, because you know where we hung our enemy off, and people were buried them. There was places, plants we got for rongoa along the banks, watercress, lots of ringamutu, the native spinach, kawai, snapper, mullet. Snap used to go up the river in the old days, you know, kingfish, all those fish used to go up there. Mussels in the river, oysters, pipi, tuatua, they're all gone now, all wiped out from all these this pollutant going down the river. And it's quite interesting because when there's a flood, after a big flood, when it recedes, drops down, you'll see the brownness at the top of the banks, which shows whether that poison's reached the toxins, has killed all that bank. Yes, it breaks my heart, to be honest with you, Kitty. It's really hard to talk about because I feel that I'm the mum I with him.
Yes.
Because as a child, we planted harakeke along the banks. We had a waterway on our whānau land where we used to plant the harakeke, and the kids would wipe right there with the butterfly nets to catch a couple for practice. And we made our own nets out of wooden supplejack, hinakis and that, to catch our wipe bait and our tuna. And, you know, now I don't even have the heart to fish for it because our kai in those days was, you know, he kai rongoa, he kai ora. Nowadays, it's you know, it's poison, it's poisoned.
So it's, you know, I think when you're talking, my beautiful kaitiaki brother, when we're talking and I hear you with that kōrero, you know, I think of our rangatahi and our tamariki, our mokopuna, who are being born to a world where these are just the memories of their parents. You know? But that is, you know, we are at the right age, because you and I think, you know, we've got a few years left in the tank.
Hopefully.
And, you know, but we are actually the last of the generation that knows what it was like, that saw the plentiful kai, that could drink the rivers, that remembers what they were like. And even here in Rotorua, you know, I've had so many kōrero with so many people over the years, because every time they see me, it's Papa Tuanuku, you know, it's what are we going to talk about the environment. So I've heard so many kōrero, and one of the beautiful kōrero I heard was about here at Ohenemotu. I'm very close to Ohenemotu right now. You know, on the shores of Lake Rotorua, the sand used to be this beautiful blue sand, is kōrero that I've heard from the whānau down at Ohenemotu. And it was just clear and beautiful and kwangaro. But those memories are still there of what it was like, and they're there in living memory. And so, you know, before too much damage is done and it's lost forever, then mā tātou, it's for us, for everybody, to actually say, no, stop, reverse, put it in reverse right now and bring back, you know, because it can be done. And I've seen it done, not only in Aotearoa, I've seen it done around the world, where you identify the source of the pollution, you stop it, and then you let Papa Tuanuku take over and she'll actually regenerate. And the fish will come back, the animals will come back, the birds will come back, but you just have to stop doing the damage.
I remember the days when we had the kereru, you know, they always had a pair. You know, they always hung in pairs, and when one was dead, then that one I never see that one get another pair of mate with it. And you know, the whole all on the hour is kereru, pairs of them. And now, like, you might see the old one here and there. The river was full of coloured stones and a real rare insect that had at least to be like a hollow cylinder. And the insect lived in it like with 100 years old. We can't even find those things in there now. The stones have been covered in sediment from this the poison from the worm farm, the remediation. So what they're doing is they're supposed to be remediating all our wastes and stuff. And they sell it as organic compost. under the label of Revital Grow Well. So there's another issue as well. So people, if you're buying that Revital Grow Well, so Kia Tupato.
Aye, you're contributing to the problem. And that, you know, we've talked about that. And I'll say it so you don't have to. Stop buying that stuff because it's actually contributing to the desecration or the deterioration of beautiful awa. And so, you know, and I'm gonna say this because that's what I do. I'm gonna say if you buy that, stop it, and let them know that you're not buying it anymore because of what it's doing to the awa and to our waterways. You know, and if we want to truly even make the littlest bit of difference, then that's one of the things that we can do. Is don't support the companies who are contributing to the problem. And, you know, these companies, I have only a little bit of sympathy for them in that they all have people that, you know, work for them and go home and have to feed their whānau too. But, you know, these profit-driven companies need to be putting less of their money aside as profit and more of it into reinvestment, into creating better systems and ensuring that when they are conducting their business, that it's not also destroying the environment. We're past that. We need to be past that. We need to, we need to do better.
Remediation was supposed to plant out riparians planting over the years, and hello, they've only just started since the hearings have come into place. So all the creeks have been bare, so there's no filtration between their pads, the pads where they dump all their waste. They just go straight from the, because anyone that knows Urati, it's all papa clay, and anyone knows papa clay, pollutants and water runs off it straight into the next water, all water always levels out, always finds a place to flow. So that's, and they built a deodorizer there because people are complaining about the smell of the worm farm.
No.
There's been a health inquiry put in as well. People have been tested. There's been links to breathing problems and also mental illness around it, because you imagine smelling rotten carcasses, toxins all day. Well, they put deodorizer in there to try and get rid of that, but they actually found the deodorizer wasn't consented, and there's actually more toxins from the deodorizer than as well, contributing to the problem.
Holy hicka. Oh my goodness. Oh, well, Paura, my brother, we're nearly at the end of our kōrero, but just before we finished, you've gone and opened up that can of worms. And so, you know, we will need to have a kōrero about that again, and maybe we can, you know, once we get off radio, well, tomorrow, we're going to have a bit of a catch-up about that, because my ears are burning. And from a legal point of view, there's some red flags there. And, you know, the health of our people, it's a bit like, that is a serious issue. That's the health of our